Okay, look, we are deep into award season right now, and maybe you've heard the names of the movies like Anora or The Brutalist, but maybe you haven't gone around to seeing them just yet. Allow us to catch you up. The Oscars are on Sunday, March 2nd, and will Conclave win Best Picture? Will Demi Moore win Best Actress and prove that she's more than a quote-unquote popcorn actress? Look out for Commotion, March 3rd. That is the day right after the Oscars. We will recap all the big moments of the night. You can find Commotion wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
They always pick on the women's necks. They always pick on the women's necks. See that.
It's been A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
Can we hear some more?
Trudeau, give me the point. You know it's Trudeau.
I'm all for it. Again, did not enjoy it because news.
With Gavin Crawford.
Hey there, I'm Gavin Crawford. Welcome to Because News. It's just me and you all and no studio audience as I have released them to take a break from the relentless news cycle of the last 6 weeks. Yes, sometimes the news comes fast and furious, and it's nice to just stop, take a breather, and look back at some of the other news that was making us angry from many weeks or years ago. Just to remind ourselves, you know, this too shall pass. So today we're going to be taking a look back at some of our greatest rage-worthy rounds. Yes, this was a round where we would quiz the panel about a news story that was causing a lot of fury online, and the panel would have to decide whether it was rage-worthy or not. Oh, the things we used to get upset about. Weirdly, we haven't done rage-worthy in a while because almost all the news now fits that category. But it's fun to look back and see what used to make us frustrated. It's a good reminder not to sweat the small stuff. Or if you're gonna sweat the small stuff, at least do it in a way that's really, really dumb. Let's get ready to rage.
Here we go!
Yeah!
Back in 2016, a beloved Canadian musician did something scandalous at a sports event. Something many online commentators deemed unpatriotic. The story generated a ton of negative comments online, so we grabbed some of the worst ones and played a game called Never Read the Comments. Have a listen from February 2016. Here are three fresh-faced Because News panelists, little Ashley Botting, young Chris Siddiqui, and Tom Howell.
This makes me so mad.
I'm really mad about this.
This is outrageous.
Hashtag rageworthy.
All right, panel, it's time once again for Never Read the Comments. Members of our studio audience are here to read some comments posted after a news story, and I want you to identify the story they're talking about. Our comment readers today are, introduce yourselves.
Michelle.
And Todd.
Michelle and Todd. All right. So here is Michelle and Todd with the comments. First up, Chow Bella writes,
by far the worst rendition I've ever heard. She has a great voice, but chose to completely butcher the melody.
And Mary Mouswa writes,
I found nothing wrong with her rendition. The flute playing was beautiful.
All right, and finally, Snow Queen writes,
this is not your typical dancing or partying song. It is not to fool around with whether you like it or not. Learn the difference and respect what it means.
All right. Congratulations, Michelle and Todd. Thank you. So there you go. And what was she so upset about? What's the story here?
Nelly Furtado singing O Canada at the NBA All-Star Game.
You are correct, Chris Siddiqui, for the point.
Yeah.
It's from a Huffington Post article, the headline, which reads, Nelly Furtado's national anthem takes alarming amount of hate after NBA All-Star Game. If you haven't heard it, here's a clip of Nelly.
Oh, Canada, our home and native land.
Can we hear some more?
Yeah. Yes, on the internet. I mean, it's hard to decipher just from that clip alone whether she's just forgot the tune or making up her own tune. She was taking a few liberties.
She was trying something.
With the anthem. What do you think?
I don't love what she did with it, but I'll defend her right to do it. I think if this were the Olympics or if this were elsewhere in the world and somebody else butchered our anthem, I might take a little more issue with it, but it's Nelly Furtado. She's Canadian. It's the NBA All-Star Game, not that official. And you know what? If she wants to have a little bit of fun with it and, you know, do it with like a cool native flautist, I'm all for it. again, did not enjoy it. But I'm all for her being able to do it.
I think it was great. I thought it was like, you know, remember when we were all in elementary school and we heard different versions of the anthem? You know, when the Nylons would do their a cappella version of O Canada?
Yeah.
You hear that every once every 3 weeks. You'd be like, oh, this version.
But I mean, to be fair, generally they follow the same tune.
But there was one part in a version in the 90s where Maestro Fresh West was like, oh, yeah, from the East Coast to the West Coast. I remember that one.
Canada!
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, should an anthem be unmesswithable?
No. Like, I was always kind of jealous. Look, I'm a proud Canadian, very patriotic, but I was always kind of jealous of the Star-Spangled Banner. And even God Save the Queen, they always sounded just better. Like, I wanted to sing them more than I wanted to sing my own. I feel like the Canadian National Anthem, oh, God, I'm going to get tweets about this, but it feels like someone just plunked it on a Casio and then handed it in. Kind of.
Okay.
I like it. I like O Canada.
Do you?
Yeah. But it is, it's hard to sing because the range of O Canada is quite high.
That's why you need Leonard Cohen to sing it with his bass. Oh, good.
And then he just talks really things it like,
I will say. I would
say. Just for fun, let's play a game that I just invented called Butcher Block. I'm going to play you some terrible renditions of national anthems, and I want you to identify the person butchering them. So let's put someone on the butcher block. We'll start with a passionate rendition of the American national anthem. This is not by a singer. It is by an Olympic gold medalist. Listen to this and see if you can tell me who is this butcher.
For the ramparts we watch, we're so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red flag.
Uh-oh.
Randy Pitt.
Uh-oh.
It's an Olympian. Does anyone know? Does anyone from the audience know?
Michael Phelps?
Carl Lewis?
Carl, I was going to say Carl.
Yes, someone in the audience gets it. It's Carl Lewis.
Oh, nice.
Yes, it was Carl Lewis, 10-time Olympic medalist, no-time Grammy winner. Singing that. Up next, tell me if you can guess who took liberties with this rendition of O Canada. Have a listen.
Brian Mulroney?
No, it's a famous Canadian singer.
Randy Bachman.
Not Randy Bachman. Oh, front row, shout it out if you know.
Burton Cummings.
Yes, the audience gets the point for that one. It's Burton Cummings. Clearly not a native French speaker from that. It was sort of just like Le Pleubon Glable Lou. Then he tried to pull it out of the sock by just, oh, Canada.
Burton.
All right, lastly, I'm going to flip this one around a little bit. Back in the 90s, Dennis Casey Parks sang this version of our national anthem at a CFL game in Las Vegas. Take a listen, and what I want you to tell me for a point is, what is Dennis Casey Parks' day job?
Oh, Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love, in all thy son's command, with growing hearts we see thee.
Growing hearts. Do you know what his job was?
Ruining national anthems?
Sort of.
You said it was in a place like a Las Vegas casino or something?
Oh, a dealer.
It was at a CFL game in Las Vegas.
Oh.
When they briefly had a CFL franchise in Las Vegas.
Okay, so but is it related? Like, is he an umpire?
Yes, it's a clue. He's a lounge singer. That's what he does for a living. He's a lounge singer.
Wow.
Lounging that national anthem. Now, in that guy's defense, reportedly he had never heard O Canada before. So he just made up a tune. At least we know where Nelly Furtado got the tune from.
Wait a minute. Because news.
Before we leave.
I'm Terry O'Reilly, and I host a podcast about marketing. But my passion is the Beatles. In our newest podcast entitled The Beatleology Interviews, I get to talk to people who worked with the Beatles and people who knew and loved the Beatles. The list of people I talk to is surprising, and their stories are fascinating. The Beatleology Interviews. Subscribe now.
That was Ashley Bodden, Chris Siddiqui, and Tom Howell in a round from the very dawn of this program, way back in 2016. As a follow-up, I should mention that Nelly Furtado has a brand new album out, and she does not cover any national anthems on it. This week on the Best of Because News, we're looking back at some of the news stories that got Canadians hot under the collar. And no, I'm not talking about the impending 51st state of it all. Back in 2019, Canada was going through a federal election campaign. And in case you've forgotten, Prime Minister Trudeau was squaring off against Andrew Scheer. Yes, Andrew Scheer of the Conservative Party. Remember? And Jagmeet Singh was there, of course, with Elizabeth May, Yves-Francois Blanchet, even Maxime Bernier. During the televised debates, things got particularly heated. Not just heated, downright disrespectful. We discussed that debate at a show we taped in Calgary. Have a listen to Andrew Fung, Arlene Dickinson, and the man who has since become the leader of the Alberta NDP, Nahed Nenshi. The debate gave the leaders a chance to clearly state where they stood on the issues. Unfortunately, with six leaders on the stage, that often ended up sounding a lot like this. As the saying goes, if six leaders talk at once, does anybody hear? To find out, let's play a fun game called Crosstalk. I'm going to play a clip from the English debate. All you have to do is tell me what subject the leaders are debating. Yeah. Andrew Fung, you're up first.
Yeah.
Here's your clip.
Yeah.
People who want to nomination take away...
How about your misogynist, racist candidate in Nova Scotia?
Okay. Nobody can hear
what you're saying anymore.
They were talking about Scheer's double citizenship.
That is a very... Well, it's a guess. That is a guess? Anyone for the steal?
Feminism.
Oh, yes, you were correct for the point. They were talking about reopening the abortion debate. So Arlene Dickinson gets the point on that one.
Way to go.
Did you...
I heard it.
Clue? Wow.
I was able to sort through it all, shift it, fill it, change it, and come out with feminism.
Do you by any chance have any experience dealing with O'Leary and Brett Wilson at the same time?
People talk over each other. I'm trying to ignore people talking over each other. Well, great, because this one is for you. We're coming to you, Arlene.
Okay.
What issue is being discussed here?
You were doing nothing, just in case you were reversing the only campaign you ever had. You promised to balance the budget this year.
Let me put it out here for you.
Oh, that was clear. I know exactly what that was about. Insurance brokerage.
Solid guess.
It was clear.
Incorrect. Anyone for the steal?
Climate change.
It was about climate change. You were correct.
Yes.
Which party has the best climate plan? Yeah, Jagmeet Singh and Maxime Bernier also sparred in the debate over Quebec's Bill 21, which restricts public servants from wearing religious clothing while at work. Mayor Nenshi, Calgary City Council recently voted unanimously to denounce Quebec's Bill 21. Why did Calgary want to take that stand?
Well, for two reasons. One was because it was the right, correct, and human thing to do. We stand up for... We stand up for human rights and for dignity, and we cannot believe that we live in a country where a province has passed a law where you have to choose between your faith and your job. The second reason is because it's actually an incredible encroachment on municipalities. The government of Quebec is telling cities in Quebec who they can hire, and they can't hire the best people. And I stand with Mayor Plante of Montreal and the other mayors in saying, we're going to hire the best people to deliver services in our cities.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, with all the crosstalk at the debate, even the media had a hard time picking a clear winner. In fact, both CTV and CBC eventually resorted to hiring a body language expert to try and make sense of the debates. Here is Mark Bowden, the body language expert hired by CBC. Have a listen and tell me, if you can, who he is talking about here.
That chin will come up
And people often feel that looks a little bit arrogant, especially when the hand comes up in this form of kind of teaching gesture.
For the point, who seemed too arrogant with their teaching gesture?
Justin Trudeau. It's Trudeau. Give me the point. You know it's Trudeau. Throw me that point.
It is not.
It's Maxime Bernier, for sure.
It was not Maxime Bernier.
Oh.
Then I'm going to say Elizabeth May.
You would be correct for the point, Mironenchi. He said Elizabeth May put her chin up too much and showed too much neck.
They always pick on the women's necks. Yeah. They always pick on the women's necks.
Of course a dude would say that.
Here's what he had to say about another candidate.
Now, once again, clear asymmetry there, and it's not helping that he keeps having a pen in his hand. It's a comfort to him, and it means one side of his body is always doing something different than the other. More confusing for the brain to watch, more neural load.
Scheer.
You think Scheer was serving up a heavy neural load?
One side of him was doing something than the other?
He was trying to balance something.
It is not Scheer.
Oh.
It's Jagmeet.
You were correct for the point. It was Jagmeet Singh. Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't even watch it.
No, I didn't. But Jagmeet's a little bit younger. Melania, he's like flipping that pen, twirling that pen.
You don't even know how to use pens. You're millennials. What do you know about pens? Like,
I know how to use a pen,
you
all
do
right?
Not.
We used pens in schools in Alberta when I was a kid. We just didn't have paper, okay?
Come on. Really?
That was Andrew Fung of Run the Burbs, Arlene Dickinson from Dragon's Den, and then Mayor of Calgary, now leader of Alberta's NDP, Nahed Nenshi. If you'd like to hear more disrespectful federal debates, wait a couple of months. The next story involves a celebrity who often has people seeing red these days, though at the time this round was taped 5 years ago, this person had not revealed their true nature. The signs were there, as you're about to hear. Have a listen to three of our calmest and most rational panelists, Chris Siddiqui, Ashley Botting, and Tom Howell.
This is Tape of the Week. This week, an international newsmaker dropped a surprise new track on SoundCloud. This person is not typically known for their music, but they are well known. Listen and then tell me if you can who wrote and performed this song.
That was Beelzebub.
Incorrect.
No, that was Prince Harry. He's getting ready for the big move, so he's like, let me drop this track.
Tom?
No, the only person I know with that breathy a voice is our prime minister, but I assume he's busy doing other things.
Can you give us a hint? Because I really want to keep guessing.
Yeah. He is known more for his inventions.
Einstein.
Oh, is it? It's Elon Musk.
You are correct for the point, Tom Howell.
What?
That was Elon Musk. The headline from Billboard reads, Elon Musk has a message for you on new SoundCloud song. You heard the clip. Any ideas? What is the message of the Tesla CEO's song?
He needs water.
Well, as we all clearly heard, I think the message is,
Bye. Tesla. Bye, Tesla.
Good guess. I'm going to play it again. Listen carefully and see if you can figure out what he is saying.
Did he say be boss of this track?
I heard look down on you.
Yeah, I heard 8,000 something.
It is Don't Doubt Your Vibe.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Don't doubt your vibe because it's true.
Does vibe have another meaning I don't know about?
You don't ever doubt your vibe, Tom?
I am now.
But your vibe is true.
Elon Musk was likely influenced by his musician girlfriend. Oh, bonus point if you can tell me who is Elon Musk's Canadian girlfriend.
Yes. Her name is Grimes.
You are correct. Yes, it is Grimes, the celebrated producer and musician Grimes from Vancouver.
They're having a baby.
Yes, they are having a baby. They announced that earlier this year. Musk and Grimes.
Ooh.
Brusk.
Musk and Grimes sounds like a cop show.
One of them smells bad and one of them never cleans.
Honestly, sometimes it's hard to tell whether Elon Musk's projects are science fact or science fiction. I can prove that with a quick game of Who Said It, Elon Musk or Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man.
Sweet.
You have a quote in front of you. It might be from real-life tech CEO Elon Musk or Iron Man's alter ego and CEO of Stark Enterprises, Tony Stark.
For those of us who don't really watch the videos, game, movie things, can you give me any character information on this Stark fellow?
Tony Stark?
Let me break it down for you this way. Tony Stark is a billionaire.
He's basically Batman in the Marvel universe. He's just a billionaire that makes all his own technology.
Tom doesn't
and he can
Batman
make
is.
Robots and all kinds of crazy inventions and an Iron Man suit. Ashley Botting, please read your quote.
Okay.
We're going to make it happen. As God is my bloody witness, I'm hell-bent on making it work.
Was that Tesla CEO or Stark Enterprises CEO?
You know, as I was saying it, it felt more like an Elon Musk Tesla thing to say.
You are correct. That was Elon.
Because I'm an actor. It's my process, so.
I'm so proud of you for not doubting your vibe. Chris Diggy, read yours.
I think I know who this is, but I'm going to try an impression of this guy. I've never done an impression of him, but let's see if I can do it. I could either watch it happen or be a part of it.
Is that Ira Glass?
Yes. That was Ira Glass. That was Tony Stark. That was my Robert Downey Jr. Was that any good?
Yeah, it was not bad.
Sure.
I thought you were correct because I was going to be like, that is a great Elon Musk. But in fact, that was Elon Musk.
Oh.
Finally, this one is open to everyone. It's not about how much we lost or how much we have left. We're the Avengers. Is that Iron Man or Grimes Man?
I kind of want Tom to guess on his own.
Yeah.
Well, usually these ones are trick questions. So is that Elon Musk?
You know, honestly, in this day and age, it could be.
Yeah.
But it is, of course, Iron Man.
Okay, great.
Although, if Elon Musk said he was starting his own Avengers,
we'd all be like, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You'd probably be like, well, at least you're not making music anymore. You heard Tom Hell, Chris Siddiqui, and Ashley Botting. We recorded that almost exactly 5 years ago in February of 2020. Not long after that, Elon Musk compared Justin Trudeau to Hitler, bought and ruined Twitter, and then made a questionable hand sign at Trump's second inauguration. So, I guess maybe he should have stuck to making music? Well, it looks like we have just enough time for one last ire-inducing story. And once again, it's about a song, a traditional song that got changed in a way many people did not like. And no, it is not a national anthem. It is a song you definitely know, however. From 2019, here's Martha Chavez, Craig Lauzon, and Ivan Decker. Panel, this week, an updated version of a classic song went viral for all the wrong reasons. For the point, what remake of a classic kids tune had the internet in an uproar?
Skinnamarinky-dinky-don't without consent.
That is a very good guess. Incorrect. Ivan?
Old MacDonald had a farm, and then Beyond Meat came along, and now they have no farm.
I could see how that might have gone viral. Incorrect. Martha?
The alphabet song.
Correct for the point. Yes, it is the ABC song. The CTV headline reads, new spin on ABC song has many people saying N-O. For a further point, can you tell me what have they messed with in the song?
The order?
It's the ZYX song now. Okay. It is not that. Ivan, any idea?
Did they change it to Z?
No, they did not.
Oh. Okay.
No, it was because, you know, when you go A, B, C, D, E, F, G,
Yes. H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P. They didn't like that it went all together, L-M-N-O-P.
Yes, you are correct for the point. It is the H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P part. Okay, any idea? Can you guess, like, how you think L-M-N-O-P now goes?
Slow, like L-M-N-O-P.
And sad? It gets sad?
Here is what it sounds like.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V.
Ivan, your face is doing something strange right now. You don't like it?
Why was it a Calypso song all of a sudden?
Yeah, it's like people that don't have rhythm to tell phone numbers.
It's like if someone asked your phone number and you were like, 3235-41-6521.
Yeah.
8.
Yeah, the breaks are all in the wrong.
Yeah, they are rude. They are messing the rhythm.
It doesn't even rhyme anymore.
That's true.
Doesn't even rhyme anymore.
Wow, you're really upset. Yeah. Craig's so upset he's lost testosterone. Yeah. I feel like, for kids, that was the fun part. You know what I mean?
The L-M-N-O-P part.
Largely, that song is quite slow and boring. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that's sort of the reward. If you learn all the way up to K, then you get... L-M-N-O-P, like it's the fun, like little slide.
It's the hook.
Yeah.
Hook.
Whoa.
Hook.
We know pop music,
yeah, man.
Wow. Yes. For a point, why do they say that they made this change?
Because they think children will think that it's just one letter, L-M-N-O-P.
The creator said this is the most effective way to teach letters to children whose first language is not English.
I'm an immigrant, and I know that they were separate letters. I never suspected that it was true. Who thinks that children are so dumb that they won't know?
I think they're admitting that they don't have confidence in the intelligence of our youth, which I find insulting.
I mean, if you could set the ABCs to any song, what would you pick?
Tiny Dancer. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
J, I, K, L, M, N, O, P. See how where I'm going?
It's pretty good.
Yes.
I know.
Hey, you still get the L, M, N, O, P in there. That's good.
Yes.
I would go Canadian. I would set it to One Week by the Bare Naked Ladies. It's been A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, N, T, U, V.
That was comedian Ivan Decker, along with Martha Chavez and Craig Lazone. And that wraps up this Best of Because News Rage-Worthy Edition. The show is written and produced by Vanessa Greco, David Carroll, Alex Redekop, Phil Lung, Jess Klimowski, and me, Gavin Crawford.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.